Amen. Matthew chapter number 7. Amen. I appreciate all the testimonies this morning, and I'll do my best to preach as quickly as the Lord allow me to. You know, in times like this, you don't want to rush things. You don't want to drag it out. You want to mind the Lord, and that is what's needful, and the Lord knows that. But I appreciate all the different testimonies, and I appreciate the songs that were sung. Amen. And I appreciate Miss Angie and Miss Jennifer singing there. And then that was a real blessing to me to see Melissa get up and sing with them. Amen. And I thought she was trying to stretch her arms and make them longer and longer and longer to get that microphone farther and farther away. It wouldn't hurt to hold it up there. Amen. But she done good, and I appreciate all of you. Amen. And the testimony's been said. I'm glad you can brag on God all you want to brag on Him. You'll never do it too much. Amen. You'll never tell it bigger than it is. Amen. Sometimes I've seen boys brag about how strong their daddy was, how tough their daddy was. I've heard people brag about theirself, how big and bad they are, and in reality they're telling it bigger than it really is. But you can't do that with God. Amen. He is better than we can tell it. Amen. Amen. He's gooder than good, as they say. Amen. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 24. And we'll read down through the end of the chapter and preach on these verses one more time here this morning. The Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." I want to look back again today at these verses dealing with what I call the parable of the wise man and the foolish man, the man that built his house on the rock, and the man that built his house upon the sand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Help us, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Well, as I said again, we're going to return to these verses that deal with this story, or we call it a parable because it's a picture story. These last words of the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord is pulling it down to a close. And to be honest with you, I know that more than likely they didn't do things in what now is known as an invitational system like that. He didn't pull it down. Matter of fact, you don't see him have everybody stand, every head bowed, every eye closed, raise your hand for this, raise your hand for that, come forward. He didn't do that. Doesn't appear that he did that. But it has the pulling together of all the strings, of all the thoughts and the message to a decision. Because a sermon requires a decision. By the way, that's why people love singing rather than preaching. Because you can sing and listen to singing and never have to make a decision about anything. You hear a sermon, you got to accept whether you're right or wrong. Or whether you're going to stay wrong when you are wrong, or you're going to get it right. You have to make a decision on that. Well, last week I began with this and talked about the particulars. That's what we dealt with, the particulars of the parable. And I mentioned three things that we would look at. We have covered two of those. We said we would look at the contrasts in the parable, the two different categories that were mentioned, and then the construction in the parable. Not the construction of, but the construction in. There's a building being built. There are two classes of builders that build two classes of buildings that were mentioned, and we dealt with those. Now tonight, or today, I want to deal with this thought, the crisis in the parable. It culminates to a judgment day, if we could say it that way. Because these buildings, matter of fact, your life is like a building. These buildings are used in a connotation in the parable form of how a life is. Do you know why you build a house? You build a house because you anticipate there's going to be storms. You'd like a roof over your head. Amen. You'd like protection from the elements, the wind and the waves. Not just for you, but for your family. Amen. You anticipate, if I could say it this way, you anticipate judgment. You anticipate trials, storms that are out there and will eventually come to you. And so you want to prepare for those storms and for those trials. Well, that's what this parable is about. And we see that takes place. This parable is not only about two builders and the types of buildings that they built, but it entails this, that there are not only two classes, different classes of builders and buildings, but there are also consequences for how you build. There's consequences for the way in which we live our life and which we pattern our life. Amen. Consequences for the builder and consequences for the building itself. Now, notice this as we look at this. As I said, I'll be pretty quick, I think. But when we look at this, each of these buildings are tried. Not just one, but both of these buildings are tried. Amen. And the trial of these buildings reveals by the storm what is their foundation. When the storms arise, they are revealed as what they are. In other words, I simply say this, and I'll say it again and again, both houses faced storms. Death does not just come to the wicked. It comes to the righteous. Trouble does not just come to the wicked. It comes to the righteous. Blessings do not just come to the righteous. They come to the wicked. And vice versa. We could just simply say that we can expect that storms are going to come. They're a process of life. Amen. We listen to the weather report and we want to hear what they are predicting that it's going to be, because we know that somewhere down the line there's going to be rain. Somewhere down the line there's going to be storms. We recognize that. And so I'll say this, you cannot get through life without going through storms. Amen. There are some people that imagine and teach that there'll be no storms if you just love God. If you just get saved, everything's going to be hunky-dory. It's going to be roses every day with no thorns on them. But it don't come that way. Life has difficulties. Amen. And we're going to face them. And as a matter of fact, the longer you live, perhaps the more difficulties you're likely to find. Our Lord plainly taught in this parable and in other teachings, our Lord plainly taught that there's going to come troubles. There's a terrible storm somewhere down the road just waiting for you. That's what He's talking about. And He says that this terrible storm that He mentions here beat against both the house of the Christian and against the house of the sinner. Both the wise man and the foolish man faced the onslaught of the storm. Amen. And that is true and will be true in all of our lives as well. Now let me say that not only did the storm assault these houses, both of them, but the storm also ascertained these houses. It revealed the foundation or the lack thereof. Amen. When trouble comes your way, I'll say this, I believe it's true, trouble does not produce character. Trouble reveals character. Amen. When you find yourself in a predicament that you've never faced before and you find it in you to do something heroic, for example, to rush in a burning fire, a burning house to try to rescue some children or such as that, that's not something that just, that fire developed. That fire just revealed that that was there within you. Maybe you knew it or perhaps you didn't know it. Many times we don't know it. But the fire reveals it. That foundation may very well be hid, but the storm, the waves, the wind, the water that comes against you in that storm will reveal and not only assault your house, but will ascertain what kind of a house that you have built. Amen. When we look at this, one house withstood the storm because of the care that had been put into it to produce that house upon a firm foundation. However, the other house was destroyed by the storm because equal care had not been put into building that house upon the foundation. The parable, the storm revealed who had heeded Christ's words and who had just heard but didn't heed. Amen. Amen. I go back to the illustration Mrs. Woodard mentioned there about the, did you call it lane control? Lane departure. And that the computer on the car letting you know when you're getting out of your lane in the wrong place. Matter of fact, you drive down the interstate, a lot of times there's those rumble strips down through there that'll wake you up if you're asleep. Mom calls that driving by Braille. But you got that will, that's what it's for. It's to wake you up. It's just to let you know you're getting too far over that way. Sometimes they're on the yellow line. Well, here's my point. Did you know it is possible? My wife and I saw somebody. We were coming home Friday. And this person was, and I believe it was right here on the penny rod, wasn't it? That they was driving over on that was behind a tractor and trailer, and from all the way out there at the other exit, 114 to this exit, they're driving on that rumble strip. They must enjoy that. I figure they was probably listening to a rock station and didn't realize it. Rock and roll music will do that to you. But seriously, it's possible to hear the warning and not heed it. Amen. The alarm bells ringing, but you don't pay attention to those alarm bells. Our Lord talks about that in this. So we see the storm reveals who had heard and heeded, and the storm reveals who had heard but did not heed. Now, I say sunshine does not normally reveal character, but storms do. Amen. Anybody can laugh and smile and sing and shout and serve Jesus when the sun's shining. But sometimes when the storm arises, the smile is wiped away. The song vanishes in the night. And serving Jesus is a little bit more difficult when the storm arises. Again, you let the thunder roll, the storm clouds come in, a little forked lightning flash, and roll across the sky, the deluge of rain set in, and many times it reveals what's deep down and hidden at other times. Amen. Now, I think this may well be one of the reasons why God allows storms to come into our life to start with. I do. I believe that He allows storms to come so that He can show us how strong our building is or how weak. We can see the weakness that's in the building. Amen. As Miss Stephanie mentioned in her testimony, it's right. The tragedy that we've just heard about and know about for the last few weeks, that makes us realize places that we have taken things for granted. We see their strength and we notice our weakness.
Right.
It's true. It reveals that to us sometimes in those different cases. So I believe that just like the foundation of these houses are hidden from view, many times we don't consider what is the spiritual health of our heart. We don't think about whether or not our inner being is spiritual or carnal. We don't think about, are we getting more godly or are we getting more worldly, until the storms come in. All of a sudden we recognize we've not been reading our Bible. We've not been praying. We've not been walking with Jesus as much as we should have been doing. Storms may very well reveal the spiritual temperature and the spiritual health of our hidden man. Amen. Now, some people's profession of faith does all right in fair weather. But when foul weather comes in. You remember our Lord gave that parable in Matthew 13 about the sower and some of the seed fell on stony ground and it sprung up. Man, it looked like it was going wild, but it had no root. A little bit of sun come up and it withered. It withered. Why? Because a little bit of adversity. Amen. Sometimes it's the cares of this world and the things that choke us. And that adversity, we get offended. The Bible talks about in one of those parables as well. They get offended and it doesn't stand the test. So I'm saying our Lord reminds us that foul weather is coming, that it might reveal to us the spirituality of our inner man. So our Lord uses this great parable to demonstrate the difference between those who hear and heed and those who don't. Those that listen and do and those that don't. Now I want to focus, I got 4 points and about this that I want you to notice. First of all, I want you to notice the fierceness of the storm. In verse number 25 and verse number 27, the first phrase is identical. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Verse 27 says exactly those same words. Whether it was a house built on the rock or a house built on the sand, the word picture here is that a storm came to these houses. Excuse me. It was not a small storm. This is a ferocious storm. It is a very fierce storm. It is a forceful storm. This is not some spring rain. It's more like a summer flash flood. Amen. When the winds are howling and the rain is coming down in torrents and the water is rising. And so you notice the threefold assault that is mentioned here. There's mentioned water and waves and wind. He talks about the rain descended and that rain beat against the house. The floods came and the floods battered against the foundation. And the winds blew and the winds were boisterous against the walls of that house. And that is showing us as it, Jesus said it, these words, it beat against the house. It's not just one hit, but it's a multitude, a continual. That rain just keeps pounding and the floods just keep rising and the winds just keep blowing that he's talking about. It beat and beat and beat against the house. Amen. Now we, in our spirituality, might overcome one onslaught, but what about when it is a continual onslaught? Our Lord mentions that and it happened to both houses. Amen. Notice then not only that the waves and the wind and the water that is involved here, but as I notice that, he mentions them. When he mentioned these three categories, it deals with all sides of the house. First of all, the attack by water is on the top of the house as the rains descended. The little song kids used to sing, the rains came down and the floods came up, right? We remember that? The rains came down, that is beating on the roof of that house. That is showing us how stable, how sturdy, how sealed that roof is over the house. Amen. But then the water that arises there is the attack of the waves, and those waves beat against and erode against and reveal the foundation of the house. By the way, I believe that Lot vexed his righteous soul daily in seeing and hearing what was going on down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. That vexing that it's talking about was a eroding, a constant washing that eroded out from under him the footing on which he was standing because there was not a solid foundation under him. Amen. So you see it's attacked from the top by the water, then it's attacked from the bottom by the waves, and then it's attacked on each side by the winds as the winds blew against that house. Amen. So it's not only testing the ceiling, how sealed that house is. It's not only testing the resilience of the covering of the house, but it's testing and revealing how sturdy is the foundation of that house and how strong and stable are the walls of that house. There's a trying on every side. Can I say to you that the devil may be on your roof today, but he may be working at your foundation tomorrow. He may be working on the east or the west or the north or the south. He's working somewhere trying your building. Amen. Testing your building. Amen. And so the storm pictured here by our Lord, as I said, is no small storm, but rather a fierce and a bold storm. Amen. Now, we don't face these types of trials every day. Amen. That is right. Amen. One thing, it seems to me that here, from the difference between Kentucky and North Carolina, is that rain here can be much more torrential than it seemed like it was in North Carolina. We got the mountains maybe that help relieve some of that. I don't know. It just seems like rain can come down so much faster here and so much harder. But I know out in Kansas, what I've been out there, it's even more. But one thing we don't have here that they have there is the wind is not constant here. Amen. But there, I mean, it's wind from daylight to dark. It's wind from Sunday to Monday to Wednesday to Thursday, right on through the week. It's wind all the time. But the storms that come against us, and by the way, that's why you see light poles out there standing like this. Because the wind didn't just blow that way one time. It's blew that way the whole time that thing's been up there. And by the way, they didn't plant it like that. They set it like this. But the wind kept pushing. And pushing. And I'm telling you, the devil will do that to you and I. He'll keep pushing and trying to see if he can get us bent out of frame, if he can get us going in the wrong direction. Amen. But thank God it is not a constant storm, although it may be a continual. And by the way, don't ever think, well, the devil's through with me. I'll never have to fight the devil again. You're wrong. You can come to the altar, you can get some victory, and thank God you can, but it's not victory forever that you'll never face another storm, or you'll never have another doubt, or you'll never have another disturbance, or you'll never have another difficulty. Oh no, that'll never happen until Jesus comes. But one day, thank God, a trumpet will sound and troubles will be over. Amen. And like the song says, we'll wave goodbye to our troubles. Amen. On that day. But until then, storms are going to arise. This storm mentioned here was a severe storm, a fierce storm. I said to you that we don't face these types of storms every day. I don't think we necessarily face these types of storms very often. But eventually, we will face some type of severe storm. Amen. What this family that we been talking about and praying for has gone through, I hope none of us ever face that. Amen. But we don't know. We don't know. So what should we do? We should have a strong foundation. Amen. The storm that I believe that came up here was a very frightful storm, a dreadful storm. It's not a passing shower. I believe it's more akin to a hurricane. As you look at it, it had the winds and it had all that. That had all the frightening and ferociousness of the storm that came in there. So, I talk about the fierceness of the storm. Can I ask you, are you and I ready to face such a storm? When it comes, and we don't know when it's going to come, but how have we been constructing our life? Are we building on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we listening to His Word? Are we obeying His will? He said, if you're hearing and doing, you're building on a strong foundation. But He said, if you're hearing and not doing, you don't have a foundation. Amen. And so what kind of care are you putting into your building? Amen. What kind of materials are you building with? Are they foundational? Are they sturdy? Or are they just facial and just for show? Amen. The fierceness of the storm. Secondly, I want you to notice the forecast of the storm. In verse 25 and 27, again, the first phrase, identical, and the rain descended and the floods came. I'll stop right there on those two verses for this moment. The rain descended. We said the rains came down and the floods came up. There was a forecast. In other words, I said it at the beginning of the message. One of the reasons we have houses is because we know storms are going to come. Amen. We know that rain is going to come. We need houses. Houses are needful because of storms. In other words, we know that storms are part of life. We expect storms. We anticipate storms. We predict storms. We prepare for storms. Everybody knows that the sun will not always be shining. Amen. But storms will come in time. Amen. I know Miss Kelly mentioned to me, she's teaching about the ants. Ants know rain's coming. And so they get out there and gather up food. Amen. I've wondered a lot of times why ants don't weigh 200 pounds. You look at how much food they gather in. I mean, they're carrying things a lot bigger than they are. Amen. And they're taking that back to the hive or whatever it is you call it that the ants gather in. I guess that'd be a hive. And they gather in there and gather in all that. But you know why they do that? Because they know the rain's coming. When I was a boy, my grandpa used to say, he'd say, boy, look over there at that sandy spot. And when the ants start building up the mound, he said, that means rain's on its way. Amen. If they don't have that mound up there, it's because they're not expecting rain to come. But they build that mound up so when the water comes, it don't just pour right in their hole. But they're preparing for that. Now, here's my point. I'm not trying to give you a lesson on ants. But I'm trying to give you the idea that the Bible's showing us even animals know that it's not always going to be sunshiny. There's a storm forecast out in your future somewhere. Amen. Since we know that storms will come, when you build your house of life, you need to build your house to survive the storms. Amen. It doesn't matter how big the house is. It doesn't matter how beautiful the house is. What we need is a house that is strong enough to support us. Amen. In the storm. The storm's going to come and try it. Amen. Now, because of the certainty of the storms of life, that's another reason I believe why you and I need the local church. Amen. This family at the memorial service, they was talking about how they appreciate the church and churches that have come in to help them. They talked about their church. They talked about Brother Massengale's church. And they talked about all these different things and how that, what a blessing it was. Can I say to you, storms are coming in your life. That's one reason you need a local church. That's one reason why you need to be reading your Bible. That's one reason why you need to be praying. That's one reason why you need to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. By the way, that's one reason why you need to worship. Worship, take a lot of the strain out of life. Amen. If you can just worship the Lord. I believe worship take the brute force out of the storm. Amen. Well, I talked about the fierceness of the storm and the forecast of the storm. Let me mention, number three, the fastness of the storm. How quickly the storm seems to have risen. The Bible says again, the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. It's as if this storm arose very suddenly. I believe that is the picture that our Lord is painting. It looks to me like this might have been, this not an ordinary expected storm. This is more like a sudden, unexpected storm. A storm very destructive in its force. By the way, one of the reasons why sometimes storms can be so destructive is because they're so unexpected. If you know a fella's fixing to throw a punch, you'll be a little bit more prepared for it. But when it's a sucker punch, and you're the sucker, you're not ready for it. You're not braced for it. You ever went down a step and you didn't realize there's a step there? And it'll almost hurt you. You know why? Because it's an unexpected storm that may cause you to stumble. And it don't have to be big. It can be a little like we've got over here. Just a little step that is just a little bit of something unordinary. A little bit of something unexpected sometimes can throw you for a loop. That's how these storms come up. It's not that they come on gradual. Sometimes they come up so very quickly. Amen. And so I believe this storm not only destructive in its force and its fierceness, but also how it came up so rapidly. Amen. When I think about the rain that our Lord mentioned here that descended against these houses, I imagine a torrential downpour. I imagine rain that's beating against the house, as it talked about. A rain that is a sudden and serious storm. Brother Bob Pattenauld, Miss June Pattenauld, missionaries that we support right now, they're in Indiana, still working with Chinese speaking people and trying to plant a church there in Indiana as well. But while they were in China, they had a son to die in China. And it was he was out playing in a little drainage area, and a flash flood came up. And before he could get out of the ditch, him and his brother were there together, before he could get out of the ditch, he was swept under and drowned. Out west and down in southwest in particular, there's dry beds where no water. They can drive through it, they can play in it, they can do whatever. But when the rains come, and it don't have to rain right there, it rains upstream, as they say. And where there was no stream, all of a sudden there is a quick stream. I'm telling you, that is how this storm that I believe our Lord's talking about. The point I'm making is this. You might think you're braced, but it's not how strong you are on the outside, but it's how strong is the foundation on which you're standing that's going to make the difference. Amen. This is a quick, sudden storm. I picture the rising streams and tides with hurricane force winds that whip and churn against that house. Amen. Again, I say, not only we expect storms to come, but sometimes they come at unexpected times and more rapidly than we think they'll come. Here's a tendency that we have. Oh, preacher, I know there's a storm going to come someday. Someday. Preacher, I'm going to have to visit the funeral home and talk to them about burying my loved ones someday. When? Yep. Someday you will. Could be today. Could be tomorrow. Melissa told me yesterday that she saw a post on Facebook where our son-in-law's grandfather had passed away. It's actually his stepdad's dad. And she thought it was his mother's dad because he had been sick. And there had been a lot of sickness in that family. But the man that died had not been sick. They all said it would have been more expected if it had been somebody else in the family, somebody that had been sick, but this man hadn't shown signs of being sick. He just passed away quickly. Sometimes that can happen. The point I'm saying is this. The storm, we know it's coming someday. We think it's way out yonder somewhere, but it may already be on the horizon, or it may be much nearer than we think it is. Amen. I heard a preacher say this one time, and it rung in my heart. He's talking about the shortness of life and really how quickly storms can come. He said, did you know they may have already put the gas in the hearse that'll haul you to the graveyard? That is scary, isn't it? And I'm not trying to make you fearful, but recognize we don't know how quickly life may come to an end. We don't know how quickly storms can arise. I ask you, will your house withstand the sudden and serious storm? Will your house stand when that storm arises? The fourth thing, the final thing here, is the finding of the storm. The findings. You notice verse 25 and verse 27, I talked about their compassion. The first part, so the words are exactly the same. Same rain, same wind, same floods, but different endings. Verse 25, the ending says, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 27, the ending says, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Both these houses faced the storms, but the consequences were different. One stood firm while the other fell flat. Amen. Jesus informs us that the reason why the one storm or one house withstood the storm was because it was founded on the rock. Amen. It was built on the rock. And it is, listen, it's not the house that withstood the storm. It's the rock that withstands the storm. Friends, I'm telling you, it's not you that can make it through the storms. It's Jesus in you that'll make it through the storms. But if you're not on Jesus, you may not make it through the storm. That's the point that he's making in this point. It is the rock that stood, and the rock upheld the house. Amen. On which was built on the rock. Christ and His Word are all the support you need. Amen. Preacher, what am I going to do when it comes my time to die? What am I going to do when it comes my time to bury my loved one? What am I going to do when troubles are... I'll tell you what you do. Trust the Lord and His Word. That's all you need. Amen. Amen. Brother Tarvin said in his message, and the family's been saying it over and over again. He said, we're experiencing grace that we've never experienced before. We've got an amount or a blessing of grace. They said that we can't express or we can't explain. I'm telling you, you can trust God and you can trust Christ and you can trust His Word. That's all the support you need. Jesus said it right there. Now the world says that's not enough. That's what the world says. That's not enough. The world says you need something more than Jesus. They say that's oversimplifying the problem. Now here's what I believe. I believe Jesus is the answer for every drunk. I believe Jesus is the answer for every dopehead. I believe Jesus is the answer for every adulterer. I believe Jesus is the answer to every fornicator. I believe Jesus is the answer to every thief. I believe Jesus is the answer to every sodomite. I believe Jesus is the answer to any sin. I believe He's the answer to any storm, whatever you may face. Jesus can get you through. And I believe He's enough. Amen. It was the rock that gave the house the support that it needed in order to stand. Amen. Again, Jesus and His Word, Christ and His Word are all we need to stand the storm of trials and the storm of temptations and the storm of tests in our life. Amen. Christ can give us the adequate support that we need through the storms of life that are common and the storms of life that are uncommon when they come in their severity. Amen. Again, some people say Christ is not enough. They say you need psychology. You need philosophy. Some people turn to those things. Some people turn to drugs. Some people turn to drink. Some people turn to friends. Some people turn to family. Some people turn to the world. Can I say to you, there may come a day when you can't call family. There may come a day when you can't call on a friend or nobody can be there quickly or can understand what you're going through. Amen. Again, and I don't intentionally refer back, but again to this family that went through what they're going through. Do you think that couple knows anybody that has lost all their children in a house fire? Do you think they have any friends that have lost all their children in a house fire? Do you think they have any friends that watch their daughter's legs and then her hands being cut off? Do you think they know anybody that they could call on that knows what they're going through except one person? Amen. Right. That's Jesus. Jesus knows what they're going through. Right. And they know that now. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, you may not be able to turn to other people one of these days. Amen. But Jesus will be enough. Amen. He is enough. Look at verse number 25 again. It says, it fell not. For why did it not fall, preacher? Did he have enough friends? Didn't say anything about friends. Why did it not fall, preacher? Was it because he had a strong family? Don't say anything about family. Why didn't it fall, preacher? Was it because he had psychology and he had a good philosophy? He doesn't say anything about that. But he had a foundation. He was built on the rock. That's why he stood. Why didn't the other house stand? Was it because it didn't have enough friends? Was it because it didn't have a good family? Was it because it didn't have a good psychology? Or it didn't have a good philosophy? It doesn't mention any of that. It fell because it was not grounded on the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, I'm winding up thinking about this final house that fell. The final house, the first one stood. The last one failed. I believe all this is referring back to the teaching of our Lord. All the way back when He said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter in to the kingdom of God. Their righteousness was all facial. It's just for show. Had no foundation. Was not stable. Our Lord's saying, you've got to have something more than just show. Amen. It fell, and great was the fall of it. The house of the foolish man was built without a foundation. When lives are built on the sand of human philosophy,
When lives are built on worldly trappings instead of on Christ, they are destined to ruin and destruction. Amen. Such houses will not survive the coming storm. I mentioned this storm comes up quickly. It looks to me like this house fell quickly as well. I think about the Twin Towers. You've seen pictures. If you didn't see it on September 11th, was it 2001? If you didn't see it in the time that it happened, you've seen pictures of it. You've seen the plane run into the building, then the other plane into the other building, and you see that thing as it starts to waver a little bit, and then all of a sudden just it comes down quickly. Can I tell you, things can fall apart mighty fast. Amen. Things can fall apart mighty fast. All it may take is one phone call and your life fall apart. Amen. All it may take is one blowout on the interstate. Amen. You name 1,000 things that can happen. One deer jump off of the bank that quick, and things can change in your life so quickly. Amen. This house fell, and I believe it fell so quickly. It might have looked beautiful. It might have looked sturdy before the storms came. Amen. It might have appeared that it would withstand the deluge, but when the floods rushed against it, it quickly fell. Often those that are without Christ crumble beneath life's load of difficulties. They crumble. You ever wonder why they sell so much alcohol? Why drugs are so prevalent? You ever wonder why so many people want to get caught up in a fantasy world? I'm going to tell you why. Because they have trouble in the real world. Some people can't seem to cope. They want to escape the real world. Amen. I'm telling you, it can fall apart very quickly when life's difficulties come. Sand quickly erodes by the force of the water. Amen. The fall of this house that our Lord mentions is not only catastrophic, but it is quick. Amen. Notice also that Jesus not only said that the house fell, but He added these words, the last phrase of verse 27, and great was the fall of it. Turn to Luke chapter number 6. I'm almost done. Stay with me. Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 49. Our Lord gives this same parable, I believe, in another sermon. There's a little bit of difference here. He talks about rather than just laying a foundation, He digs deep and laid the foundation on the rock. We mentioned that earlier. Excuse me. But look at verse number 49. Verse number 49, last verse of Luke chapter 6. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And look at this phrase, and the ruin of that house was great. Our Lord talking about the fall of the house, the ruin of the house. You ever seen a house that had a leak and they just ignored the leak? They just ignore it. They don't get better. Leaks don't get better on their own. They get bigger and they get worse and they destroy more and more. And sometimes there is great ruin involved. Ruin because of the water. Because of the storm, there's great ruin. Our Lord's talking about this house that fell, and He says the ruin was not a little. It was a great ruin. Uses the same word in both these texts. I read this in a commentary, so I looked it up, and it's right. This word that our Lord used, the word great, is Strong's number 3173. Strong's 3173. It's a Greek word, and the word is megas. It's the word we get mega from. A mega destruction. Not just a catastrophe, it is a mega catastrophe. It's not just a loss, this is a mega loss. This was a great loss that came in this man's life. David Thomas, the Bible commentator of the 1800s, said it this way. He said, how miserable the circumstances of this man. Think of the amount of the loss. All the money, anxiety, and labor which its erection had cost him, sacrificed forever. Think of the time of his loss. The house is destroyed just at the period when it is most required. Are you listening? Right when he needs a sturdy house most, that's when it all falls in on him. He said, in the tempest, think of the amount of his loss, think of the time of his loss, and then he says, think of the irremediableness of his loss. He says, the materials are probably borne away in the flood, and re-erection is impossible. And what he's saying is, this house falls, and the parts are washed away, and the parts are so destroyed that all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put it back together again. That's the idea. Amen. Such a fall, such a destruction that it cannot be put back together. Can I say something? Our life can get such a mess. It's not that God can't help us, but there's some parts that won't go back together. Amen. There's some parts that have catastrophe because of the storms that arises. I say the loss of this house was catastrophic. But the loss of a soul is much more catastrophic. The loss of a soul would be mega catastrophic. That's what he's dealing with here. This is not just a house falling that can be rebuilt. This is talking about a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. And they don't realize that they have no foundation, or it's not revealed that they don't have a foundation until the judgment. Again, it goes right back to the teaching our Lord's been saying. Many shall say to me in that day, and they go through all the things they've done. He said, but it's not foundational. All you're talking about is show. All you're talking about is facial. You're not talking about anything that's foundational. You're not talking about anything that's got structure and real stability in it. Amen. So our Lord's dealing with this case. He's talking about the soul that is destroyed. Amen. The loss sustained by this foolish builder is indeed great. Those who refuse the foundation of Christ, those who reject the foundation of our Lord's words, are headed not just for loss, but great loss. They're headed for ruin. They're headed for destruction. And it may come fast. And it may come furious, but it will come fully, completely. And when it comes, it'll be final. I wonder today, in conclusion, what are you doing with Christ? What are you doing with His words? Are you building on the solid rock? If so, your life can stand the storms. Amen. The rock will hold you up. But if you're not heeding the words of Christ, if you're not heeding the teachings and Christ Himself, your life won't stand. Two verses, Mark 16:26. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And then Paul said it this way, 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Are you building on the foundation? Are you building on Christ and His Word? It's very possible to sit in the same church building, to hear the same preaching, and yet one person build on the foundation and others build without a foundation. It's very possible to sit right among those that are heeding, and you're hearing, but you're not heeding what the Word of God says. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You, dear God, for the preaching and the teaching of Thy Word. Lord, I pray that You'd help us, that we would be settled on the rock. Don't let the devil or the world deceive us into thinking that Christ is not enough. Lord, help us to be sure, as our Lord said, that though the wind was strong, though the waves were strong, though the water beat continually on the house, that house stood that was built on the rock. Lord, help us be reminded Christ is enough. But then, Lord, for those that don't have Christ, help them realize that whatever they do have is not enough without Christ. Lord, I pray, move in this invitation time. Bring conviction and salvation. Bring assurance and service. I pray in Jesus' name.